Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast. Oh man, it is Thanksgiving week, just after SoCon week. Those are the two greatest American holidays. The first, SoCon Saturday, when SEC teams all unite in, you know, taking an easy one, y'all. Phoning it in. Scheduling somebody in order to buy them a new gym. That's America's greatest holiday.
Even Vanderbilt gets in on the act.
This includes Arkansas, yeah.
Yeah.
Arkansas's athletic program is now funded.
That's good.
And Vanderbilt, you know, yeah, a little shady, but hey, the important thing is you got a little money back into the struggling Ole Miss athletic
program. Oh, this is weird. Somebody else is paying Ole Miss athletes.
The aristocrats, literally.
It's good, because you know how Vandy is about saving money. Coupon clippers, that's how you get as rich as a Commodore. Wait,
I'm not tipping.
A weight room? Now, let me go check Craigslist.
More like a WAIT room, because you're going to be waiting for me to spend money on this football program.
You can be waiting.
Doing pull-ups on trees in the park is free.
It's Listen, it's cutting edge.
Wait, does Vanderbilt believe in public parks?
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Doing pull-ups on trees in the private park is free.
Doing pull-ups on Vandy's type of trees is actually not free.
Mm. Yeah, the Commodore's Glen is now open to select young athletes. And friends of the Commodore.
Man, if you ever been in a Glen in your life, I don't ever want to talk to you.
Watkins Glen. Hell
okay,
yeah.
Take it back. There's one good Glen. Woo! Also, Glenn Burns, greatest meteorologist of all time.
Yeah, three and a third one, Glenn Campbell, the Rhinestone Cowboy himself, okay?
Glenn Close has done some good work.
No. Just
what do you mean, no?
No, I'm convinced that people have face blindness, and they're like, get Meryl Streep, and they just put Glenn Close in there.
Wow.
That's Glenn Close fight.
Somehow you got the hotter Glenn take than I did.
I did. Glenn Close, fight me.
Glenn Close would whip your ass.
She would. I've seen Fatal Attraction. That woman can fight. She's got a left hook. I don't have that.
I don't think that's really the takeaway from that movie, but okay.
You know what 101 Dalmatians is about? Trying to rack up perfect pelts.
Yeah, this is like my friend who watched Leaving Las Vegas, and his takeaway was, dude, that guy can drink! And he said it awestruck, like, yeah!
I want a party with him!
It's lit! He seems awesome! That guy's like an athlete, but for drinking. He saw it from the Malcolm Gladwell perspective, right? Oh, 10,000 hours. That guy's achieved perfection.
What is the, like, Rocky of drinking?
Leaving Las Vegas?
Okay.
Well, it's that or the story of the Wade Boggs flight. Which I assume both of you are generally familiar with.
Well, the idea was that on a single flight, right, mm-hmm. that Wade Boggs, the third baseman for the Boston Red Sox, right, mm-hmm. drank how many beers in a cross-country flight?
The number is all over the place, but he most recently, I think, told Charlie Day, who many people say I sound like, and is on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He told him the number was 107. Yeah.
One.
We don't have to parse that.
He says 107, right?
He says 107. Some estimates have it more in the 60 range, but nobody has ever said it's below 50, and it may go as high as 100.
Because I'm going to rely on the empirical, and I say that word properly with the E, capitalized accuracy of Australian cricketers, because their record was on a Qantas flight from, I believe, Perth to Heathrow to take the entire Australian men's cricket team to the Ashes in 1989. David Boone, who looks exactly like what you think a guy who could drink 50 beers effortlessly does, kind of beefy, played cricket, not a cardio case.
Did you say David Byrne? No.
This is not my drink cart. No, David Boone. Dave Boone.
Founder of Boone's Farm.
If anyone could thrive on Boone's Farm, it would be David Boone, okay? Gigantic walrus mustache, all right? David Boone, accurately accounted by his teammates, consumed 52 beers in a drinking contest with a teammate from Sydney to London. They drank they got the stewardess to line up the beers in a drink cart that stayed stationed by David Boone's seat on the plane. Qantas is an amazing airline. Could you just bring the drink cart, love? Just put it right here. Would you, chap? Just right here. Oh, certainly, sir. Yes. Put it right by his seat. And the previous record was 46. And Boone eclipsed that easily at 52. This is the kicker, though. David Boone had to do a press conference immediately afterwards. He walked off the plane after consuming 52 beers on a flight. Have you been drunk on a real long flight?
It's awful.
It's terrible.
It's like being drunk in one of those crawl-through cat tunnels.
It is, except
that's
it's
even more full of germs.
Except it's dry, and you're already disoriented from flying from, again, Sydney to London. All right? And then David Boone consumed 52 beers. This is basically a space program all by itself.
Like, the
right?
physics of that alone are staggering.
Yeah. But he, the physics and the biochemistry going on is amazing. But he finished 52 of them, had to do a press conference. And when he got off, when people asked him questions, his teammates will go, well, you know, Dave's been working really hard on this. And, what he thinks is, cause David Boone could not talk.
That's good. That's supportive.
Yeah.
That's helping.
When somebody asked, by the way, he consumed 897 milliliters of pure alcohol within those 52 beers, by the way. A doctor in the Medical Journal of Australia was asked about anyone else trying to drink more than 52 beers on a flight, and he said, and I quote, with the inevitably shorter times to London, the next record breaker may arrive dead on time.
Stop doing accents.
It is well known that alcohol can have very serious toxic effects on the heart muscle, resulting in cardiac arrest.
Who is this Australian guy who's talking?
What I like is that he's just doing Chris Hemsworth. That's all he's doing.
Oh my god.
That's all I'm doing.
He is what you're doing.
Yeah.
He is. He's just doing Hemsworth when, like, Hemsworth gets a little lazy as Thor.
Yeah.
Before we started recording, Spencer did say, wait, I don't know if you, I forget if you guys were on for this, that he could never respect an actor or an actress who has never gotten jacked for a role.
It's true.
And I asked, what about Jack A. Harry?
Jacked every single role. It's in her name.
Take that, Judi Dench.
That's right.
You've done nothing.
Judi Dench ever get swole? No. Did Olivier ever get swole? Who? I'm sorry. I've never heard of him.
This is another chance for a Daniel Day-Lewis drag.
That's right. Has Daniel Day-Lewis ever gotten jacked for a role? The answer is no. No, he became a cobbler. He didn't have to make
shoes.
His
roles are all based in the 1800s before they had weights, though.
Yeah, but you know, he could have worked at a quarry.
Was he jacked in Last of the Mohicans?
Actually, he was pretty jacked in Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah. Okay, so shut the fuck up.
I'm going to find out.
He's wearing a bunch of buckskin. How could you even tell?
Also, he's in a movie that's literally called The Boxer.
Yeah, but
also
wouldn't.
Judi Dench would whip your ass too.
Well, yep. Yeah, but she never got jacked for a role. Maybe she never needed
for
to
a
get
role.
Jacked
she
for
just
a role.
Naturally fit though.
Yeah. But like,
so I guess it doesn't count.
Yeah. Actually, now I'm really glad you pointed that out to me, because Last of the Mohicans, it's a really, really great movie. And he
just want to point out, we are in the heart of college football season.
Yes. Sorry.
We're down at the Packers.
But the fact that we're having this conversation this deep says a lot about what happened this
week. Yeah, it's not our we're being fairly representative of what took place this weekend. We're really not burying the lead here.
There was what, one upset in the top 25?
One of significance, yeah.
I think there was only one overall, wasn't there? I mean, I know other top 25 teams lost, but they lost to higher ranked teams. West Virginia losing to Oklahoma State was the only upset, right? Did I miss one?
Yeah, that was the big one. Let me double check real quick. Boston College lost to Florida State.
Oh, right.
Does
yeah,
anyone
Boston
care?
Boston College did lose to Florida State.
No.
I mean, it does matter because now Florida State's going to beat Florida, so they can maintain their bowl streak.
Ohio State tried as hard as possible to lose to Maryland.
They really did. They put a lot of effort into trying to lose to Maryland.
Citadel came so close to becoming the first team to have a lead against Bama in the second half, and they duffed it.
They kind of didn't. That was the sad part.
Yeah.
Like as soon as the Bama came out for the second half, it was like, okay, I guess we start football now.
No, yeah, for the rest of the game, but Citadel recovered a fumble early in the second half,
mm-hmm.
made a field goal, but they had a false start on the field goal.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And then they tried again, they missed.
Yeah, and then they missed the field goal. They would have had a 13-10 lead. And thus,
Spencer, you've got an opinion about Bama scheduling this time of year, don't you?
I do. They do this on purpose. It's all part of a conspiracy that they do the SoCon Saturday move in order to look terrible. Preferably against a triple option team. Now, Citadel, prior to the scheduling, was not a triple option team. I believe injury dictated a scheme change, which that's actually pretty cool that Citadel was like, yeah, you know, like, whatever, man. we'll just run the bone. We'll just run the triple option after running pro style. Whatever, man. Whatever. We got a backup who played up in Marietta. He was like a 2-star QB. Who was never, yeah, just run him into the teeth of Bama's defense. Imagine that. You got to hear that. So, hey, buddy. Yeah, in 2 weeks, we're going to play Alabama and you're the starter. Oh, cool. So, what's the game plan? We're going to try to run some slants, some crossers. Actually, you're going to run keepers. You're going to run head first into Quinnen Williams. That's what we're going to do.
You know, the whole, phrase throwing a wrench into the gears. Well, you're the wrench.
so technically Citadel they have been a triple option team, but I do agree that Bama does this intentionally just so Nick Saban has something to scream about. And here is the proof. SoCon Saturday as a thing, what year did it begin? 2007. That was go back, run the history before then, before the Iron Bowl, Bama and Auburn typically did not play FCS teams. Bama started this in that year when Nick Saban took over and played ULM. Of course, ULM won, giving Nick Saban something to scream about for the next decade.
And Urban Meyer contributed to this as well, of course. And didn't he have a great Saturday? Didn't he look like he was having fun out there?
Yeah,
definitely in the spirit of SoCon football.
Yeah,
he looked like he was having to defend a triple option all by himself.
Clutching his stomach and falling down on the sidelines in pain. Not falling down.
What a fucking drama queen.
Going to his knees.
Slumping, gnashing, wailing. Wars and rumors of wars.
I mean, y'all have toddlers. You tell me.
Oh, yeah. He's gassy. That's all that was. I've seen that before. That's a gassy baby.
Coach got the colic.
Irvin's got to poop so bad. It's because he ate all that fucking pizza.
You gotta lie him down and get somebody to bicycle his legs. That's gonna help.
Yeah, this is
curl him up in a little ball so he can pass.
So can we run a little chronology here? Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Just a little chronology of the overall Urban Meyer story for this year.
Jesus.
Okay.
This is gonna be little. Okay.
Yeah, no, just for this year, okay? That would be he was suspended to start the season. And
first three games.
Yes, first
right?
three games he was suspended for the Zach Smith scandal case, hullabaloo, etc. Then on October, I want to say 28th, he told reporters that he had an arachnoid cyst in his head.
Which makes it sound
brain.
Like it's full of spiders, which I would absolutely believe.
Yeah, same. This was the same thing that in 2014, you know, he was warned by his doctors to, you know, about screaming, blowing the whistle, kind of stressful things that place a lot of pressure in the head, and the blood vessels in the head. This is, comes out around then, right? And then, when does the Thamel Meyer piece come out where he starts to talk about this?
Like,
shortly after.
It happened pretty, like, it was pretty organized. Remember when we were trying to, because I remember we did a podcast about, you know, at what point in the season will the piece drop about, well, Urban's considering stepping away, and it happened that week.
Yeah.
I thought all this happened before they lost to Purdue, though.
It did. It did. But,
okay.
But yeah, opening
which
up.
Which makes it funnier, frankly.
Yeah, no, this is around the same time. So he talks to reporters about it, but he also does a piece with Thamel of Yahoo Sports.
That's October 30th.
October 30th. So it's all around the same time. And it evidently hasn't gotten any better. And the stress is not wearing any better on him. He's done. There's no, like, how? Like, the minute, first of all, the minute he was suspended, that relationship is ruined, right? Because there's no way. There's no way anybody who's paid that much money and given that much power thinks anything is their fault. Not one chance. That's not how money and power work. It's not. If anyone did, it'd be a really rare human. Otherwise, he doesn't think any of this is his fault. Second, the health issues which have dogged him since 1998. Okay, 2014. Okay, now 2018. Have now under stress gotten so bad, and the stress is exacerbated to the point where he's considering quitting coaching the Ohio State University football team, where it just the future's not definite. Didn't say quit. Didn't say resign. Said that, I don't know, we're going to figure out how to deal with these in the future. We've seen this before. It's happened before.
You know what I think's going to happen.
Go on.
No, you already know what I think's going to happen.
I do. I would like you to say it out loud.
2 years off, Notre Dame job.
Yep. That's what's going to happen. Does this mean, by the way, does some skepticism about the timing and release of this mean that Urban Meyer's health issues are not real? No, no. They could be very well real and maybe stress-related. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, and that's great. You don't want me to be a doctor. Be a terrible, terrible physician. Because I'd probably just prescribe laudanum. Been playing a lot.
Writing
for it. I do. Been playing a lot of Red Dead Redemption. I'd probably just give you a can of beans. Put some beans and yarrow root on it. It'll be fine. But do I think that this is also timed perfectly to coincide with an inevitable and reasonable exit from Ohio State? That was probably done the instant the Zach Smith thing happened. Yeah. Yeah. Because you know who's not going to take the fall for Urban Meyer in any respect? The Ohio State University. Who can win with anyone else? They can plug someone else in there and they can still crank out 10 games.
Ron Zook.
Hey.
Ron Prince.
Hey, listen. Take his name in vain at your own risk. Because Illinois lost 65-0 at home on senior night this past weekend. And who was the last coach who did anything with them? Jason, were you the one talking about the achievements of Ron Zook at Illinois relative to the rest of their history?
We were chatting about it amongst ourselves the other night. Like, if they had just kept him and he just kept puttering along at 7-6, I think Illinois fans would take that reality right now. Like, if you go back, I think it was Illinois' two bowl wins of this millennium, both came in Zook seasons. I don't know what more there is to say there. You should go hire Ron Zook right now, Illinois.
And
you still have Lovie Smith, though, as of this recording, to be clear. Lovie Smith still has a job.
We don't have to be clear. You should go hire Ron Zook.
Well, who's to say Lovey's got to go anywhere?
Unless USC gets him first.
Unless USC snatches him up first.
Oh, bidding war. Zook bidding war.
I'm sorry, by the way. It was 63-0. Don't want to make it any worse than it already is. Yeah, 63-0. They had 82 passing yards. They're not a triple option team.
Maybe they should be. Maybe they're missing their calling.
Ron Zook, run the triple option.
That already aren't working.
Have you noticed this, by the way, that this is a pattern in college football media this year that everyone's finally caught on? They're like, maybe you're not really a good football program. You should just run the option. I love it. It's like the belly putter of offenses, right? Well,
Hey, buddy, you want us to put the bumpers on? It's okay. Bowling should be fun.
I mean, I feel like the thing that if you are a Kansas or an Arkansas, those two words rhyme according to Les Miles, new head coach at Kansas. It's 21 minutes in. We're just now mentioning that. You are not going to win your conference. You're just not going to win your conference. The best thing you can hope for is making a bowl and pissing off the best team in your conference. If you're Kansas, all you can hope for is to piss off Oklahoma. You know what Oklahoma really fucking hates? The triple option. Evidence. People paid $60 to watch pay-per-view as Army took Oklahoma to overtime.
And some guys
just, I mean, yeah, I know it hasn't been awesome at Georgia Tech, but there are other circumstances there. I think every conference should have one triple option team that just infuriates everyone else.
And there are circumstances where it has been awesome at Georgia Tech. It hasn't, you know, it's gone up and down.
They
but
went to,
it's not
they went
like
to
been...
two Orange Bowls. They went 1-1 in Orange Bowls. That's that over the last, what, 5 decades, that's a pretty good mark for Georgia Tech.
Overall, they'd take it, right? I do like this, though, because I think it's a very realistic thing where you go, hey, you know, maybe you should just wear the same pair of pants and the same shirt every day. Not because you're Steve Jobs, but because you're not going to do better than that. Just keep doing it.
This is the outfit that looks good on you.
Your trip.
What about? Nope. I said this is the outfit.
Your triple option will be between these three pairs of khakis and these three shirts. You don't
you
buy
if,
anything
like,
else.
Pac-12 North had Mike Leach and a pure flex bone team. All the defensive coordinators would just leave. We're on strike.
Fuck this.
It's got to suck, though, because in the second quarter when you've given up 178 yards rushing and you're trying to explain to a teary defensive end, look, all you have to do is pick one. Just pick one. Don't hesitate.
Pick a guy and run at him.
That's a serious dad moment. Really. Don't run in the street. Just stop.
Sometimes, no, never. Never.
But the lineman keeps jumping at my knees. I know he jumps
never!
At your knees. You got to push him away from you.
You're
like he's a rabid
knees.
Dog.
Since we're sort of on the topic of Big Ten sadness, can I play a very sad game with both of you?
Oh, let's go.
With all three of you, rather?
Yeah.
We already had Tennessee, Missouri.
Oh, God, I wasn't even going to bring up that game.
I got you.
Missouri's really good.
Let's move past that and not feel anything.
Derek Dooley's revenge. Sorry.
2018 Rutgers versus 2016 Rutgers. 2016 Rutgers finished 2-10. 0-9 in conference play. 2018 Rutgers currently 1-10, 0-8.
I know
in
you
conference
don't actually mean versus, but man, it'd be fun to watch those teams play.
I'm gonna be a little sick right now. The 2016 Rutgers was the team that could barely get a first down against Michigan, repeatedly got shut out. And 2018 Rutgers, if you know nothing about them, hey, congrats on you. You know self care. So we're going to go through a few stats, and I want y'all to guess which of these Rutgeray. Which Rut guy?
Which sounds like rot gut.
Which Rutgeray is the worst team at this statistic? Let's start with which team had fewer points per game. Current 2018 Rutgers or 2016 Rutgers?
2018.
That's correct.
Wow.
2018 Rutgers scores 13.8 points a game. 2016 Rutgers all the way up at 15.7. Turnover margin. Which team's worse, 2018 or 2016 Rutgers?
2016.
2016 Rutgers actually wasn't terrible at this. -5. 2018 Rutgers, -13. Just cruising along. Third down conversion rate. Which team's worse, 2018 Rutgers or 2016 Rutgers?
Anything offense, I'm taking 2018 across the board.
Yeah.
2018 Rutgers is actually, they're a little better at this. They're at 32.7% third down conversion rate. 2016 Rutgers down at 30.7. Last one, penalties per game. Who was the sloppy? Who is the sloppier Rutgers?
2018
Rutgers is worse. 6.1 penalties a game against 5.3. This is the right now the first year and the most recent year of Chris Ash's tenure at Rutgers. It's all come full circle. Ashes to ashes, garbage to garbage.
Ashes to ashes, rut to rut.
Grr to grr. I would like to, speaking of disaster.
This is ash to ash in the, what is the movie about drugs? The one?
Muppet Babies? Wait, that's not
the,
no, that's
the movie
show.
About drugs that where it's everyone does way too much drugs.
Requiem
there's
for
the
a
scary
dream
music. Wait, and Requiem for a Dream, yeah. Ash to ash. That's what that makes me think of when we talk about Rutgers.
Yeah. We just need one big score.
Great. Now somebody's going to find a Muppet Babies clip to put ass to ass over. So
they had a lot of
Rutgers themed.
Oh god. The other disaster. And there were a couple of outright disasters. One of them being USC this week. USC did not schedule a SoCon team. No, unlike those brave Pac-12 teams, they actually played somebody this week. Don't look too deep in their schedules. Don't. Yeah, fools. Should have taken a week off. Come on. Get with the leisurely life. Be laid back.
You should have flown out Wofford.
Yeah. You could have just had, what? You could have just had the Citadel. And you
played any number of excellently mascotted teams from the University of California system. You got your banana slugs. You got your gauchos.
Yeah. You could have brought, you could have brought UC San Diego in there. Come on.
I don't know what Davis is, but they got meat. They'll bring you some fresh sausage.
Yeah. See? Fools. Instead, you decided to play UCLA, a team with nothing to lose but the game. And obviously, given their record, they don't care too much about losing the games this year. However, would you like to name the running back who in the history of USC-UCLA gained the most yards in a single game? Think back carefully before you answer any of this, because you're talking about UCLA and USC. USC in particular, long, really glamorous pedigree of outstanding running backs, including O.J. Simpson.
I thought you were going to lead with Reggie Bush.
I thought
but
you were going to lead with Reggie Bush.
No.
Sure.
I went to the guy who didn't commit murder.
Right. Okay.
Unlike Reggie Bush, who murdered amateurism. What?
Okay, I'll say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I'll say Chip Kelly's son.
Jason's close. Someone named Kelly. Because the person who has the most rushing yards of any single player in this entire rivalry is Joshua Kelly, who had 40 carries and 289 yards and two TDs against USC. USC at one point had a nice lead in this game. And in the fourth quarter, that evaporated like so much rainfall.
Listen, USC, you only got one game left. It's against undefeated Notre Dame.
Just do this shit.
Go triple option, man. Just go triple option.
Just put JT Daniel out there and be like, son, just got to be a QB keeper. Is it going to hurt? You know, glory and pain, they coexist in the same circuit.
See, that's the tricky thing, though, is Notre Dame practices for that shit all the time.
Yeah, but not against USC. They don't.
Oh, okay. They don't know that West Coast triple option.
Why don't they do what Duke did in their game and pull the best play I've ever seen, which is the fake quick kick? David Cutcliffe, you bastard.
Would, like, do that on every drive?
No. No, make that their... Maybe, yeah, USC yeah. should make that their base offense. Like, I don't
That's
know
your base play? See if they'll fall for it again. You might have to audible out of it into an actual quick kick.
You can do any number of fakes off that. Fake quick kick. Pitch. Pass.
Fake left.
Just do what somebody does when they're cycling through the controls, right? On a controller in NCAA, right? Like, fake pitch. Juke. Spin.
Oh, man. I ran out of time and I just picked a play. Shit. Shit.
Oh, no. We're running past three.
Ask Korch. Korch says free kick. Yeah, that's bad. That's 100% bad, and this means that now we get to sit here and wonder if they're going to fire Clay Helton. And this is, of course, a question of luxury, because if you look, what's Clay Helton's record as head coach? Like, his
pretty good.
It's not that bad. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Dude, it's really
he's like five, somebody pointed this out earlier today. He's like five games or so worse than Brian Kelly at Notre Dame.
He's 32. He's 32 and 16.
He has two top 12 finishes, and this year has a shitload of injuries and lost a top 10 draft pick at QB.
And has a freshman starting QB. People at USC.
He's a high schooler at quarterback.
Yeah. And people at USC are like, fire his ass. Get him out of here.
Also, he's got the fourth most talented roster in all of college football recruiting rankings.
But yeah, five and six in. Great. Roll out the guillotine. Because if you can identify Clay Helton, and eventually through the help of DNA evidence, they will.
Somebody's getting fired.
Somebody.
I mean, look, they're the only blemish on Wazoo's schedule, right? Doesn't that count for something? Plucky upstart USC?
Against established power Wazoo.
That time USC knocked Washington State out of the playoff. And that was all they accomplished all year long.
This is confession time. I really didn't get electrified or giddy about anything that happened on Saturday until the Wazoo Arizona game.
Yeah.
Well, no, you had feelings. They just weren't good about Vandy and Ole Miss going to overtime.
No reason that should have happened. The audience should be able to reject. Like, if everyone in the stadium, like, they should do, like, everybody.
Please vote. Please vote on your cell phone now for overtime or end in tie. Oh, end in tie has won.
Overwhelmingly.
Shall we continue?
No.
No, hell no.
Please don't.
It's not even to beat traffic. This is a Vandy game. Flows out of here evenly and nicely with a very small crowd that's manageable given our traffic capabilities. No, we just don't want to sit out here any longer. That would be great if you could veto it. However, Ole Miss Vandy.
The saddest part of this is at the time it was the only competitive game going on. We looked up and Bill said there is one game in single digits right now. And it's the least important game of the entire year. It involves Ole Miss, first of all.
This is a good point. This is a good point in the podcast to point out. Certain imitator college football podcasts may have told you that this week had hidden promise, had diamonds in the rough. And if you listened to those charlatans traditionally NFL shows, you were fooled. But if you listen to your good friends here at the only college football podcast, you knew better.
We told you.
To be fair, Ohio State looked like shit, and that was funny.
That was deeply funny. It was deeply funny to listen to Greg McElroy, whose stock as an announcer has depreciated significantly over the course of the season.
A friend of the pod, Tom McGrath, referred to him yesterday as quarterback Cassio. I think that's as good a description as any. My favorite part was when he praised Urban Meyer's accountability during the game, using that word.
Spencer, that was a really good dog Cassio that you just did.
I spent a lot of time with the dog Cassio, okay?
You can't do accents for shit, but you did a great dog Cassio.
Can you do it again?
Yeah.
Hey, we have a theme song.
I do a crap Aussie accent, but I do a good Hemsworth.
That was a pretty good Thor as a Cassio dog.
Yeah. See? That's everything. That's all my accents. It's Chris Hemsworth as Thor.
The most amusing thing that I heard though on Saturday was at halftime of the Michigan State Nebraska game, which I think went into the half 3-0. I don't remember who was on the call for this game, but they're like, and this is the first time Nebraska's been shut out at home since last year. I was like, oh man, that felt like it was gonna have some weight to it. It just sort of landed with a thud.
this is the
history being made here.
This is the first time my son's been sent home since last week.
This is the first time this Big Ten game has gone to 15 points since last week.
I love that though, man. Like later on in the Scott Frost regime, they'll be like, yeah, you remember that shit? Remember when we had to beat them 9-6?
Worked, didn't it?
Count it. The board says W.
Scott Frost month, bitches.
We're getting a whole season. Frostmas. On the liturgical calendar, it's between Osbornia and Devania. The other one, to give you an idea of what a disappointing kind of Saturday this was, it's not that Syracuse didn't lose to Notre Dame. That's fine. You could lose to Notre Dame. It's that Syracuse had to kick a sad field goal to avoid being skunked by Notre Dame, because at that point, they hadn't.
Just get skunked.
Dude, don't kick.
Like, if you're Syracuse, all you're here for is to score a bunch of points.
Yeah. Right?
Like, what we wanted out of Syracuse was like 40 to 30 or something like that. Not, what was it, 36 to 3?
If you had to allot 39 points between the two teams as a final score of this game, this was not the arrangement that you wanted those 39 points to come in, right? Can you give me change for that? How about 36-3? No. I don't want any of that. It's just that Notre Dame's so damn efficient with the in-book. They are. They're efficient, and on defense, they're real mean, get after it, and their defensive line is like a serious blocking issue for any offense. Yeah, it's just bad. They're very difficult to face right now. You don't want much to do with them.
It's very odd that we're going to get to the end of the season and Notre Dame is going to say, well, no, we don't play a conference championship game, but look at the good teams we played, like Michigan and Pitt and Northwestern and Syracuse. Those are probably the four best wins they have, right? And USC is not going to change that.
Right. Yeah, they had USC, Florida State on the schedule.
Stanford. Stanford and Virginia Tech on the schedule, too.
Notre Dame's entire schedule just flipped upside down.
Yeah. Vanderbilt, you were exactly you what you put. Were supposed you stayed to be. Put. Thank you. Fine. Thank you, Vanderbilt. Your constance is to be admired.
The Ball State that came within 8 of Notre Dame, it is still bad. I just really feel like pointing that out frequently. I did like Notre Dame's uniforms, though, the Yankees thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not really aesthetically, and I don't really subscribe to the sentiment behind it, but I like it when – I guess I like it when the heel just identifies as the heel.
Sure.
Just openly embraces, yeah, we're awful, fuck us.
The Notre Dame Wells Fargo uniforms. We're very sorry to have betrayed your trust in 2012. Please believe in us again. When we started over 100 years ago, a little upstart out on the West. Yeah. I just go ahead.
Fucking Saudi Arabia fighting Irish.
Yeah.
Facebook.com fighting Irish.
It's just Notre Dame doing the joint, you know, hey, we don't kill journalists uniforms. Sponsored by the House of Saud and Notre Dame football. Yeah, just go ahead and come out. Just brand the uniforms with like the most evil corporations, people, countries, whatever. Do it all. Come out looking like
but not cool bad guy stuff.
No. You want lame. Like, you want Notre Dame sponsored by Walmart.
Like Monsanto basically means my saint. So it works.
Yeah, exactly. You're not like D-Generation X bad guys. You're like
InGen. Hey, yeah. we made some dinosaurs, we made some money, whatever, fuck off.
Listen, the...
Fuck you don't have dinosaurs or money, why am I going to listen to this guy?
Don't make me like them, because the Notre Dame Jurassic Park like uniforms would be amazing, because they'd be like, which dinosaur did you bring back? And you're like, Notre Dame winning something. It's the rarest dinosaur of all.
We can't go back that far, actually.
Yeah.
If we're going with movie corporations, it's really Weyland-Yutani, where it's all like, no, we believe in exploration and serving the greater good, and also we're going to weaponize the fuck out of these things. Are you kidding me?
More importantly, in South Bend Stadium, no one can hear you scream.
It's very quiet.
Because you're not.
True. Yeah, it is.
Because no one's screaming.
Also,
because you don't actually give a shit.
We're just here to observe greatness. We're
just here to observe.
The other recipient of that, by the way, Michigan received a fright at the hands of Indiana. Remember, God hates Indiana. God hates Indiana football, especially, right? He hates the whole state. But man, mm-hmm. he despises Indiana football.
Had a lead at the half.
Yeah.
As is custom when facing either Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, or Wisconsin. Indiana is guaranteed to lead each of those teams at the half and then lose by a touchdown or more.
Yeah, Wisconsin, by the way, also massive comeback against Purdoe. Purdue looked like the worm had turned properly for them against Wisconsin. It had not. Wisconsin piled up 24 points in the second half, too.
I'm realizing we've totally omitted a game of great national importance. Hail to Spencer, our chicken king.
Woo!
He is all that is right and good. He knows more than we do, and that is why we bring him offerings of chicken, fried and crispy. Long may he live, though not long, because of all the chicken he's won.
Worth it. Who's a friend of Big Cow? Not you, Ryan. Not you, Jason. You know who Big Cow loves? Big Cow loves me, because I'm loyal. All right? You know what you don't understand? Big Cow pays in cash. They come in.
I realize something else disturbing. Hmm. If Texas beats Kansas, and they probably will, Texas will be 9-3.
We did.
Who was right all along?
Interesting to see how they got there.
And it was. Who
was right all along?
And if you didn't see Michelle Herman, she was wearing an OK Cool Hook'em t-shirt.
Good hair too.
Great hair. Okay, cool, hook them. So go to michelleherman.com. She's selling those t-shirts. Hell, I'd probably buy one right now, especially
because
I'm
high. Like the ultimate own, because this comes from Zach Smith trying to get Herman in infidelitous trouble, right?
Yeah.
And it's his wife who gives the ultimate rejection to that.
Yeah, so, because either she, A, doesn't believe him because it didn't happen, or B, dick two bomb. Sorry, y'all. Still got this. Still got this pretty pony. He's right here. Texas paying him a lot of money.
Just for the record, you should not be a couples counselor.
To be fair, she's got like shouts nine out to different her either way. Hermans.
It was a flex. Texas beats Iowa State 24-10 because Iowa State Tom Herman can't is nine stay consistently people. Having good things. They can only reach right. them sometimes. Still right. pretty good, though,
one
man.
Of them is
like,
Hill.
I don't know. No, I was Iowa State.
That's not what I'm
alleging. I'm looking at 5-3 in conference.
Not alleging that anyone
overall.
Had an affair with Clay Helton.
No, I'm feeling saying right. Clay Helton is everyone, and therefore he's one of the Tom Hermans.
I'm not. I didn't lose to UCLA. Don't blame me for that shit.
Okay.
Wait, you're Tom Herman?
Fuck.
We're
so everyone is on either Tom Herman or Clay Helton?
No, everyone is both. All white men are Tom Herman and Clay Helton.
No, there are seven distinct avatars to Tom Herman. Clay Helton is one of a thousand indistinct people.
Sure. All right. So Tom Herman is basically all the like bosses you have to beat in Mega Man, where they're just slight variations.
Right.
Tom Herman is the gang in Game of Thrones who actually none of y'all watch that shit. Never
no,
mind.
No.
I do. On the internet. This is where I have.
Anyway.
This is where I'm like, man, I can't believe what they did last night on Game of Thrones because I read Twitter.
I gather some people got their heads cut off. That's amazing.
Oh man, these gifts were
crazy. These gifts were nuts. Do you actually know the plot behind them? Someone explained it to me.
A dragon ate a zombie. This show is great.
I had it.
Sure, not interested.
I digested it in the most efficient form, y'all. I'm here. This is amazing. Am I going to watch the finale after not watching an episode for like six seasons? 100% yes.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. I'm a full 2.5 years behind. I'm just going to clock in for the very ending.
I know.
Pretend I know
what's
happening.
Like, do you know what that means? I'm like, no, but it's crazy.
This is a lot of people in the Big 12 championship game too. So
absolutely. The Big 12 is our finest conference. Because again, Oklahoma State, nothing to play for. Maybe you just let West Virginia by. Screw y'all. You get over here. No, man, I'm clean. I'm clean. I get this ankle monitor off tomorrow. It's all good. I'm just going to go out, have a beer. It's fine. That's cute. You think you're going to get away with that? Yeah.
Wait. If Texas wins, so Texas is the only team that has locked a spot in the Big 12 championship game, right?
Yeah.
The winner of OUW gets the other spot, right?
Texas just has to beat Kansas.
I think even if they lose, they're in.
Texas, maybe not. Texas does have to beat Kansas.
They do? Well, all right, let's assume that happens.
Yeah, it's not guaranteed that it happens.
No.
Based on recent history.
Especially not fair. With Puka ripping off like 250 yards rushing a game now.
Wait, can Les just coach that game?
There's no rule against it.
Right? There isn't. Like, just let him coach that game.
I mean, what's coaching going to be for him at this point, right? He's just going to come in and clap.
I think Kansas could use that.
Somebody has to clap in that stadium. Not true. But, you know, it'd be nice. It could be like, oh, man, that's my dad. It's my new dad. It's Les. He's clapping for me.
I think they would take it as mockery.
He does.
Especially the way Les claps. Hey, he's making fun of us. He's clapping all stupid.
We've seen that before.
That man is making pancakes at us.
I mean, you'd be thinking about pancakes in the little Kansas football game, right? You're like, pancakes do sound good.
Speaking of the Big 12, I just want to point out Oklahoma gave up 40 points to Kansas. So I think the key is just to pretend you're facing Oklahoma's defense.
I think they need to fire
Mike Stoops.
I don't want to talk about Kansas anymore. You wanted to talk about the FCS, didn't you?
The FCS bracket is out, folks. And it's just weird to me that even... College football fans, we have an entire
Spencer,
half of
you
Division
do you
one.
Do it in Casio dog voice or nothing.
Yeah, you, Spencer, you're allowed one noise. Perfect. So we have this whole entire half of Division One that has like the playoff setup that everyone says they want, but nobody pays attention to.
Well,
it.
Wait, but it can't be that many more than four teams, right? It's probably only six.
Higher.
Eight? Eight would be the highest you could possibly go with the playoff without infringing
warmer,
upon...
but nowhere near.
On valuable school time, could it be... Maybe it's a 16-team playoff.
Is that the,
hell no, nah, we devote even less time to school than that. Fuck school. Fuck school, we're here to play football. 24 teams! And guess what? Guess what? The Ivy League doesn't even get to play, because fuck school.
That's right.
Here's the best part. The same organization oversees both of these. The same one that's like, oh, gosh, you know, got to move slowly with the playoff. A lot of things to consider. Oh, over there? Don't worry about them. Yeah, they're making flamethrowers in the backyard, but you don't run with scissors.
That's what FCS,
I don't know.
That's what
FCS even
stands
than
for.
Because like, the NCAA runs FCS, and the top level is just the TV consortium conglomerate.
Right.
Like, the NCAA is the shield, you know, where it's like, we care deeply about academics and also letting young men play five football games in December.
The last of which will be in Frisco.
Yeah, whereas the TV level is the one saying, like, oh, no, we care way too deeply about academics to put them on TV. Just, they're like, both fucked up in different directions.
Yeah, FCS, by the way, does stand for fuck school. It's at big F, little U, big C, K, big S.
fuck church and school.
Fuck school, yeah.
We're playing on Sunday, too.
Yeah, and they do, like, FCS does nutty things, right? They do, like, hey, you know, I don't know, we got Sam Houston State. Where are they going to play? I don't know, we'll truck them all the way up to Montana in the middle of a fucking blizzard to play a playoff game. But
they're going to play in Prague, fuck yeah. You.
Prague, Oklahoma, to be specific.
What? You play playoff games on campus sites? Shouldn't you play them at the AdvoCare Alamo Fiesta, Ford Fiesta?
We're gonna play them in Fargo, bitch, on a Wednesday.
We're gonna play it at Drew Brees' big backyard.
We're playing in motherfucking Bozeman.
They do. Like, I love that. Montana, one year, they had it was like a dead drop blizzard. I mean, like big foot wide snowflakes falling in like rapid succession, like a near whiteout conditions. And the announcer comes on and goes, "Welcome to the stadium at the mouth of Hellgate Canyon." I was like,
"Fuck yes, man! You're telling me you'd rather watch the Orange Bowl?
Our playoffs are trash."
I'm trying to tell you. So I wanted real quick to run through this bracket, not just because my team has a top four seed, and just lay out some predictions, just so we spend at least a few minutes per year talking about half of Division One. Can I get two volunteers?
Me.
Sure.
Okay. Let's do. Spencer, I'll give you one half of the bracket, and then I'll give Ryan another.
Okay.
Spencer, give me Montana. I'm going to run through teams. I'm not going to give you records, seeds, anything like that. You're just picking a winner, okay?
All right.
Montana State hosting Incarnate Word.
Oh, Montana State got this.
Yeah. Let's see. JMU hosting Delaware.
JMU smoked them. Blue Hens peaked like 8 years ago.
Towson hosting Duquesne.
You know what? I bought weed from somebody at Towson once. Towson all the way.
All right. We're going home chalk. Wofford hosting Elon.
Never betting against Wofford. Terriers all the way.
Excellent. All right, Ryan. Nichols State is hosting San Diego. Who you got?
I like Nichols there.
The Colonels. Northern Iowa is hosting Lamar. This guy named Lamar.
Hey, y'all. I'm Lamar.
Lamar's seen some shit, all right? He won't talk about it, but he's seen it. Give me Lamar.
Lamar. I like Lamar. I like that it's Lamar Cardinals, because that kind of was Louisville for the past 2 years, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Just kind of all they just had. A guy named Lamar.
Just it's Lamar and the Cardinals. Jack State hosting ETSU.
Jacksonville State is a lie, so I will take ETSU.
ETSU founded by Phil Fulmer. Southeast Missouri State Bears hosting the Stony Brook Seawolves.
God, Stony Brook is... Nah, I gotta go Southeast Missouri State.
All right. Next, Spencer. North Dakota State versus Montana State.
Oh, I gotta go.
Come on. No, come on.
North Dakota State. I'm putting them through.
Okay. JMU is headed to Colgate.
Oh, JMU by far.
South Dakota State hosts Towson.
Jackrabbits, please.
Okay, over your plug?
My plug. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. The swole ass Jackrabbits go.
Okay, and then we have a flex bone battle. Kennesaw State hosts Wofford.
Kennesaw State, Planconia is real.
That's true. Let's see. Ryan, you got Eastern Washington on the blood turf hosting the Nichols Colonels.
Bit of a travel for Nichols, so I guess I'm going to go Eastern Washington.
Next, we have UC Davis.
Oh, there's Davis, my good meat school.
By the way, they are the Aggies.
Oh, that's a little on the nose.
UC Davis hosting.
I'm changing that. They're now the UC Davis Butchers, and I'm picking them over Lamar.
Okay, the Butchers beat Lamar. Mm-hmm. Perfect. And then we have the Maine Black Bears hosting Phil Fulmer's ETSU.
Maine is an SEC school, and Phil Fulmer is not, so Maine.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then Weber State hosts SEMO.
Give me SEMO.
Damn. All right. Okay, so now we're into the big boys. This is the big stuff here. Spencer, you have the hardest pick on the whole board. You have JMU traveling to the motherfucking wood chipper, North Dakota State.
Yeah, JMU is not pulling that off. I'm going ahead and betting on NDSU.
Yeah, that actually wasn't hard. South Dakota State. Let's see, this would be at Kennesaw, no less.
Kennesaw.
Damn, okay. Shit, we got to go to North Dakota State. Ryan, let's see. UC Davis is traveling to the blood turf, EWU.
I'll roll with blood. Let's keep going
roll
blood.
Roll with blood. And Maine hosts the Southeast Missouri State Bears. Battle of the Bears.
Bear off!
Can SEMO keep it going?
I got to go Maine. Superior Maine bear experience.
All right, Spencer, Kennesaw State is traveling to Fargo to get murdered. How bad will it be?
You know what? In an upset.
Upset it's within 25?
No, it's going to be NDSU. I'm not betting against the gorilla here. And also, yeah. I would never bet against the bison.
Smart. Ryan, who are you putting up against the bison, EWU or Maine?
God. You know what? It's interesting. It's more interesting to say Maine, so that's what I'm going with.
Phew. Okay. So there's your folks. There's your official prediction: North Dakota State versus Maine. And I think you know what happens at that point.
Far flung locales. North Dakota State, Maine is the perfect matchup of. I have a cousin there I've never met.
In Frisco, Texas.
Playing in beautiful Frisco. Do you like Dallas, but hate the buildings or anything interesting? Would you like it to be a little colder and a little icier? Sure, Frisco.
Do you want just like a sense? Do you want it like the LaCroix version of Dallas? Just it's like
a whiff
adjacent to
just a whiff of Arlington.
So yeah, that was the 5 minutes of FCS talk
for
the year.
Man, we should probably just go super hard on this and cover every single game, right?
God, I'm real glad we don't have anything like this for our precious FBS college football. Ah, it'd be a shame if we had 24 teams playing for the national title at this point, because that would include, well, I don't know,
Pitt.
Teams like UCF. Pitt. I don't know. Yeah, probably.
Pitt. They'd have to put Pitt in. Can you imagine, by the way, the problem, the very, very deep problem of having a 2014 playoff with everyone that we know is involved and having Wazoo loose in that. And I mean a problem both ways. Wazoo wouldn't know what was going to happen. Neither would anyone else. But on the wrong night, get bad, man. You can get sideways on you. Real quick.
You would have a conference champ auto bids, which means you would have such teams as perhaps UAB would be in the playoff. You might get yourself an App State in there. Get you a Utah State. Somebody's got to win the MAC, I guess.
Yeah, you would get, like, among others, you're going to get your Conference USA champion, correct? You're going to get, you're going to get invites. Like, so for instance, if you go ahead and look at the standings and go, oh, well, who would get into a 24-team playoff? Question's more really kind of like, who wouldn't, you know? Anybody seriously out there sort of thinking, boy, you know who I'd really like to face? I'd love to face Georgia Tech. I'd love to face a pure triple option team in a playoff. That'd be great.
Would you rather play Utah State?
No. I want no part of that.
Okay.
None.
Shit, if you want triple option, Army's 23rd in the AP.
Army nearly beat Oklahoma, y'all. That's Oklahoma's best
Army
win.
In the fucking playoff. Why not?
To this point, do you want anything to do with Army? Do you want anything to do with Buffalo? I don't. Not a damn thing. None. Or Fresno. Yeah, this would be terrible and great. We should immediately do it, because if broke out schools can get people to Fargo in the middle of like December, yeah, there's no excuse. You can go ahead and do it.
I mean, yes, it would devalue the regular season on the one hand. On the other hand, yeah, man. Let's let LSU play Utah. Why not? Just see what happens.
On the other hand, how much more value can this regular season lose?
Not much, man. Yeah, I mean, yeah. What you going to trade in for? This pelt is one star. It hasn't been that great.
this season is a poor possum pelt.
Poor squirrel pelt.